Jesus said, whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward. I think it was a Christian writer and essayist Frederick Buechner, who observed that every sermon has some element of biography in it. So here's a bit of biography. One of the more prominent memories of my childhood is growing up in a home that was forever welcoming. I don't know if this was a product of my parents' own childhood background or simply the consequence of living through two world wars when it was natural for people in Britain to help each other. But throughout my childhood, I remember our home being open to a constant stream of visitors, friends and strangers alike. Some who came for a day, one who stayed for years. I had an aunt and uncle who Sunday after Sunday for most of my childhood came for Sunday lunch. As the youngest in the house, I would be sent to meet them at the bus stop on the high street and escort them to our home. And at the end of the day, I would escort them back to catch the bus to their own houses. Aunt Lily and Uncle Dick, two completely opposites you can imagine, brother and sister. Aunt Lily became known as Lily the Sniff, because every other word was a and Uncle Dick was rather portly, classic friar tuck, who took snuff. So they both sniffed. And they would spend Christmas with us, sniffing their way through Christmas Day and Boxing Day until they went home again. Aunt Lily with her sniff and Uncle Dick with his snuff. Our home was a refuge for family cousins sent into exile by their parents for some infraction or other. They would just turn up on the doorstep, explain to my parents what had happened, they would confer, and then the waif would be welcomed into the home to stay a few days, a few weeks, a few months, until my mother had brokered some kind of peace with the family and the waif was allowed to return home. When my sister was training to be a nurse, she had a friend who had a brother coming out of the army. He had nowhere to stay, so guess where he landed? He came to stay with us. He actually stayed for some years. We shared a bedroom. He became the brother I never had. And always, always, whenever a person arrived on our doorstep, my parents would say the same thing. You'll take us as you find us. You take us as you find us. Which is the same as saying we are what we are. And we will treat you the same. This is your home as it is ours. It became a byword in the family. And it still is in the family Relyn and I have formed over the years. I don't believe my parents' sense of hospitality was born out of any religious imperative per se, but it was certainly very Christian. And I inherited that sense of hospitality. When I lived in Scotland, my cottage became a retreat for many people, a resting place for work colleagues and family members alike, who came often when life was overwhelming them. When my father died, my mother came to stay with me, initially for 6 months. She stayed for 3 years. And back in England, the house that we bought, we discovered had a name, the Haining. Haining is a Scottish word. It means enclosure. It's often used to describe a holy enclosure. Oh, which, this is another sidebar. I don't know whether you caught them. You probably didn't. It wasn't given much press, and it didn't get any in America. It did on the BBC. They've just made another amazing discovery on Holy Island. They think they found the earliest church built there in 635. They need to do some congregational development at the moment because it's just a ruin, but, you know. Sure enough, in the Haining, the doors were always open to a stream of visitors, many known, some unknown. And frankly, the custom has continued to this day. Over the years, we've acted as hosts to friends and family, foreign students from Latin America, France, Turkey, all of whom have remained friends. And always the welcome is the same. Take us as you find us. Friend or stranger, welcome. For the time you're with us, our home is your home. For was it not Jesus who said that whenever we welcome the stranger, we are welcoming him? All these things came to mind when I read the lesson from the Gospel of Matthew for this Sunday. Let me take you back a couple of Sundays. You may recall, I suggested that the Gospel of Matthew has been seen by many scholars as a record of the emerging church in Antioch, where it is supposed it was written. A record of the emerging church in Antioch set against the backdrop of Jesus' ministry. One thing we know of the church in Antioch is that it struggled. It struggled to accommodate Christians of differing opinions. Christians struggling to discern what it meant to be Christian. Struggling to discern the truth of faithfulness. The reading for this Sunday comes towards the end of Jesus' instructions to his disciples before sending them out on the mission field. Jesus reminds the church that whatever one thinks of someone, it has nothing to do with how you welcome them. Jesus said, "Whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of righteousness. And whoever gives a cup of water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward." The term little ones here, I suspect, is not just referring specifically to children, though that's where we often go with it, but to anyone who is new to the faith or new to the community. When we welcome the stranger into our midst, we need to always remember we are welcoming God in Christ himself. My father-in-law was a chaplain, a Nazarene pastor, who spent 20 years as senior chaplain to a New York Institute for the Mentally Disabled. He had 6,000 inmates. And he worked with a team of chaplains from the Anglican tradition, the Roman Catholic tradition, worked with a rabbi. Many of you may recall that towards the late 60s and early 70s, many of these institutions were closed. The idea being that it would allow them to take independent lives. Unfortunately, there was no props put in place to allow that to happen, and so many of our homeless people stem from those days. One of the people who tried to help fill that void was a Canadian Catholic philosopher and scholar named Jean Vanier. He started the Larch community that Henry Nouwen joined towards the end of his life. Now stretches over 37 countries. He founded it for people with development difficulties and those who assist them. This is what he had to say about welcoming the stranger. Welcoming is not just something that happens as people cross the threshold. It is an attitude. It is the constant openness of the heart. It is saying to people every morning and at every moment, come in. It is giving them space. It is listening to them attentively. To welcome means listening a great deal to people and then discerning the truth with them. To welcome means listening a great deal to people and then discerning the truth with them. What we learn, I think, from the Gospel of Matthew and from the letters of St. Paul and actually from his conflict with St. Peter is that the church in Antioch struggled mightily over listening to the other, trying to discern the truth with them rather than over against them. The fact that we are here today reading from the same gospel suggests that they found some way to do it. We live in a season of uncertainty, do we not? On this 4th of July weekend, on both sides of the Atlantic, where the question of who should or should not be welcomed into our communities looms large. I don't know about you, but I find myself thinking a lot about what might have parents taught me about welcoming. And I find myself increasingly thinking about Jesus' instructions to the disciples in the Gospel of Matthew and how he welcomed the stranger. And on the grand scale of things, I find myself asking this question. If God in Christ were to apply the same standard of listening to and welcoming the stranger into the kingdom of heaven as we are apt to do into our own communities, where would that leave us? Each of us will have our own answer to that question. If God in Christ were to apply the same standard of listening to and welcoming the stranger into the kingdom of heaven as we are apt to do into our own communities, where would that leave us? At Adult Forum, we spent 30 minutes looking at the Anglican divine George Herbert. One of the great planks of his theology was perseverance. Perseverance, not to somehow live with or sustain something in the way that, you know, we persevere someone's bad habits or whatever. Perseverance in the love of God. That we as broken vessels, God loves. So perseverance to him was coming into the reality, convincing himself continually into the reality that God loves all of us. That none of us can ever be perfect. None of us can ever attain to that level of perfection. We feel ourselves that we have to. Because God has already accepted us, as he accepts everybody else. If God in Christ were to apply the same standard of listening and welcoming the stranger as we are apt to do, where would that leave us? Food for thought, is it not, on this 4th of July weekend? Enjoy your hamburgers and your hot dogs. Amen.